It seems apparent that our citizens are staying off the streets, which may make scoring particularly difficult, even with this year's rule changes. To recap those revisions, women are still worth 10 points more than men in all age brackets, but teenagers now rack up 40 points, and toddlers under 12 now rate a big 70 points. The big score, anyone, any sex, over 75 years old, has been upped to 100 points.
Hello, everyone. It's Scott. Hope you're all doing well. Today's July 4th. I'm staying in a hotel here in Sacramento, California. And this is the bathroom door in the hotel, okay? Now, I want to do a little exercise to test your powers of logic, your powers of reasoning, okay? Now, the surveillance state that we live under with the NSA would have you believe that if you're not doing anything wrong, you don't really need privacy, right? If you don't have anything to hide, you don't need privacy. That's what's going on. Now, think about that in terms of this bathroom door. You like your bathroom door because you like your privacy. But do you have anything to hide? Do you really? I mean, to me, if you agree with the NSA and the government totalitarian state right now, you don't really need a bathroom door. You don't really deserve a bathroom door. Because, look, you have your privacy. You deserve your privacy. What are you doing in your privacy is your own business, as long as it doesn't affect anybody else. And I compare that to a bathroom. Guess what? If you don't like what's going on in the surveillance state, or if you like it, if you love what's going on, you don't deserve a bathroom door, in my opinion. It's not about hiding things. It's about your right to privacy. Do I have anything to hide? I don't know. Not really. Or maybe I do. Oh, my God. Snowden in my bathroom. Oh, no.
Joey, you like movies about gladiators?
Time for Fully Threaded Radio.
It is Fully Threaded Radio, voice of the FCH Sourcing Network. This is the online, on-demand, predominantly fashion-related podcast in which we take industry news, events, developments, personalities, etc., throw them all into a proverbial soup pot, season the resulting mix with a blend of oddities and attempts at random humor, and call it all Fastener Talk Soup.
Yes, a very dubious soup indeed.
Hi everyone, Eric Dudas here, and I'm joined by everyone's favorite online fastener guy and a fine soup chef in his own right. He's Brian Musker. Hey, Brian. You doing all right?
I'm doing pretty good, thanks.
So what was the craziest soup you ever actually made? I know you take great pains to find very, very rare blends and throw them together for your party guests.
Yes, I do that, and I'm known as a soup cook, but I guess the one that's the strangest is one that is a cold soup, and most people actually don't eat it because I'm sure that soup is actually meant to be hot. So I think it's my greatest soup, actually, but still.
And what's in it?
Oh, it's a Spanish one. It's called gazpacho. I love it. But most people sort of think, oh, did you forget to cook it?
Or did it just go cold?
Right. Yeah, I had a little trouble with doing the rest of it.
Well, some of the favorites that I've experienced in your kitchen were the five mushroom blend, the peanut soup. And then one time you did carrot soup, which was really fantastic.
Yeah. Yeah, I scour the web for things, but that's usually my signature thing, just to make something different.
And you succeed, just as I believe we're going to succeed on this episode of Fully Threaded Radio, with quite an interesting mix of topics, and very exciting ones at that. This is episode 68, and we're publishing on August 8th, 2013. Our feature segment today is a conversation with Bob Porteous of Porteous Fastener Company. Bob shares his thoughts on the new anti-dumping situation involving threaded rod imports, and he explains some of the changes going on at PFC. He also addresses some of the questions over the future of his company, which have been all the buzz lately at industry events and elsewhere. Next, we'll see how 3D printing is being used by an industry stalwart company as research engineers at A. Raymond Tinnerman, Todd Hemingway, and Jason Resnar join us and explain their implementation of upcoming additive manufacturing technologies. If you're as excited by 3D printing and the additive manufacturing revolution as we are, you don't want to miss this conversation. Plus, as always, we'll hear from Mike McNulty, and this time with Holden Lewis on the Fastener News Report. The Fastener Distributor Index diverged from the PMI in July. What does that tell us about the fastener industry and the wider manufacturing space? Well, you'll find out in mere moments. All that straight ahead, Bri.
The title sponsor of Fully Threaded Radio is Steelfast. For service you deserve and people you trust, it's Steelfast. Also, Trinity Hardware Headquarters, Buckeye Fasteners, Fastenal, Fault Industrial Plastics, and Solution Industries, home of Solution Man. We thank all of our sponsors, and we're glad to be associated with such an excellent group of companies.
Couldn't have said it better myself, Bri. And of course...
of course not.
We have the support always of Fastener Technology International, and I'd like to congratulate everybody over there. They just released a new issue, and Mike McNulty told me that I think it's the largest one they've ever had. So that's a good sign for them and the industry.
Yes.
And we'd like to thank all of you for listening, folks. We really do appreciate it. We've got a lot to cover today, and we'll get to it all right after this.
When top quality and outstanding service are at the top of your list in fastener suppliers, turn to Steelfast. Since 1976, Steelfast has grown to become an industry-leading importer and manufacturer of the highest quality industrial fasteners, specialty items, and automotive parts. Our array of facilities across North America and in Asia, along with full quality control labs and ISO 9001:2008 certifications, ensure the highest quality parts, and at Steelfast, they're delivered with undisputed service excellence. We're family-run and dedicated to your success. Our customers have come to depend on the expertise of our staff and the quality of our products. We also offer a wide range of secondary services to meet some of the toughest requirements you might have. Contact Steelfast today through our website at www.steelfast.com and put us to work for you. Steelfast, service you deserve, people you trust.
Looking for packaged fasteners of all kinds? How about specials or unique parts that no one seems to carry? At Trinity Hardware Headquarters, we believe in parts done right, and our new catalogue is available online at trinityhardwarehq.com, featuring over 30,000 different types of fasteners available in package quantities, product kits, and assortments, including hundreds of hard-to-find parts, as well as the most popular inch and metric sizes. Trinity Hardware Headquarters has locations throughout the Midwest and South, and over 400,000 square feet of warehouse space with 18 million pounds of fasteners ready to fill your requirements. Our featured products include number 3 and number 7 head plow bolts, grade 5 and grade 8 carriage bolts, hook bolts, tap bolts, and nuts and washers of all kinds, plus much more. Visit our website at www.trinityhardwarehq.com or give Trinity Hardware Headquarters a call at 888-232-1010. Trinity Hardware Headquarters, the parts done right.
Buckeye Fasteners and the Ohio Nut and Bolt Company have been servicing the fastener community since 1905. An employee-owned company for 33 years, we take great pride in the quality of products we sell, offering outstanding customer service from our very knowledgeable sales team members. Our standard product lines include graded weld screws, resistance weld fasteners, leg levelers, tube inserts, clevis pins, and various other fasteners. We have complete custom manufacturing capabilities in low carbon, medium carbon, and stainless steel materials, and our quality systems are registered to ISO standards. We also have an entire team of sourcing specialists able to locate those hard to find items with typically smaller minimums and shorter lead times than that of our competition. We offer same day shipments from one of our warehouses, strategically located throughout the United States and Canada, enabling us to fulfill all your fastener needs in a very timely manner. To find out more about Buckeye Fasteners, please call us at 800-437-1689 or visit us on the web at buckeyefasteners.com. Buckeye Fasteners, product support from development to implementation.
My customer sent me a print for a bolt specifically for the machine in his shop, but we can't make it.
Solution Man, Ken. Provide me with a print, and my superhuman CNC machining team will custom make it for you faster than a manufacturer's rep drinking at an open bar. Visit the Solution Industries website for details at solutionind.com.
Wow, that is fast.
So are you at the distributive social, huh?
Hi, this is Marty Meyer from K&L Sales. You're listening to Fully Threaded Radio.
Hey everybody, get with us at the email address ftr@fullythreaded.com, and we're also out there on Twitter under the handle fullythreaded. We mentioned follow-up links from time to time on the show as well, and you can catch all of those on our Fully Threaded Radio Facebook page. Communicate with us out there as well if that's your medium of choice. And we all know it's not yours, Bri.
Right, I'm having a little trouble with my phone at the moment, but you can get to our Facebook page actually from our regular search page on Fasteners Clearinghouse. There's a link straight into it there. Or you can do facebook.com/fullythreaded.
All valid ways. You know, we mentioned earlier that we have a whole litany of great sponsors, and another one, I guess, that's implicit is Fasteners Clearinghouse, the FCH Sourcing Network. And why? Well, that's because we're them. They're us.
That's right. Yeah. Those are our alter egos.
In other words, we're the people who bring you FastenersClearinghouse.com, the FCH Sourcing Network. Hope you're all out there using the network whenever the need comes up to find a hard-to-find fastener inventory item. Flip side of that, if we can help drive some business your way, get yourself listed on FCH, and we'll do our best to put as many eyes as possible on your inventory. Again, the website for that is www.FastenersClearinghouse.com. Bri, you've got a little bit of news to announce on what's now available through the network, and I guess we were driven to that organically, as we say, by member requests.
Yes, actually. Just this week, actually, we released a new commodity search type. It's power tool accessories. This has been put together with a fair amount of help from one of our new members, John Grobel at Retail Rebound, and he's done a fair amount of work in trying to come up with a logical set of breakdowns of that category. And we've had a lot of the stuff in the actual system before. It's just none of it was listed in a logical way. So, you know, this is yet a new category. And so hopefully it'll be useful to our members.
Now, specifically, what kinds of power tool accessories are in the new category?
They vary between different types of drills and different types of blades and abrasive cutters and flap discs and belts and things like that.
Now, is the scrubber going to be able to process all of these new commodities, or is that going to be kind of a new challenge in a learning area?
No, part of the testing with John has been to actually upgrade the scrubber to handle them, and it can handle them right now, okay?
Very cool. Well, I have no doubt that we're going to have some of our current members adding to their current listings, those that carry those types of products.
Right. And the next experience will be going into actual power tools themselves.
That's excellent news. Well, keep up the good work. And everybody, once again, the website for that is www.fastenersclearinghouse.com. Be glad to see you out there.
Right.
And I haven't had to do this for a little while, but might as well get it out of the way right now, Bri.
What should I know?
Yes, unfortunately, once again, it's time for...
Screw up! of the week.
Oh, so was it me again?
No, you're off the hook this week, Bri. This time it was me during the last episode, that is 67. I was pointing out that there were two Jim Sullivans in the fastener industry. Of course, the one that I've known from the MWFA from Chicago Hardware and Fixture. And when Rich Cavoto was mentioning the winning teams and the second place teams from the MWFA golf outing, I said incorrectly that the other Jim Sullivan was from Excel. In fact, he is from Abbott Interfast. So there's the screw up coming clean.
Sorry, folks.
You know, I mentioned at the top of the show that Holden Lewis will be joining Mike McNulty on the Fastener News Report, and that's coming up in a little bit. And I just wanted to mention to everybody that he's long been a holdout against getting involved with LinkedIn, but Holden Lewis now is on LinkedIn. There's actually another Holden Lewis out there as well who is not Holden Lewis of BB&T Capital Markets, but he's out there now. And for those of you who are of the persuasion that you enjoy linking up with people, I'm sure he would not turn down link requests from people in the fastener industry. So just make sure you've got the one from BB&T Capital Markets if you do.
Right. Oh, it didn't strike me as a non-technical sort of person. We met him, Holden. He just knew what he was doing with when he was giving his talk with us.
Oh, he's a pretty sharp guy, and he uses technology where it fits into his style, I guess. But he's a self-described social media Luddite. He just never had a use for it, and he took the plunge. I don't know. I didn't really persuade him, but I did see him out there, and yeah, there are some benefits. I mean, if you know what you're doing and if you have a purpose for it, you can get a lot out of it. I do. Speaking of which, I've got kind of a momentous LinkedIn development. So it's taken me a couple of years, but I now have at least one person with a last name beginning with every letter of the alphabet in my contacts list, Bri.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Yeah, I remember the LinkedIn moment that it was really quite interesting, but we were at an NFDA meeting in Chicago, and one of the members was complaining to other people about he getting these requests from LinkedIn, and asked the group of attendees just who actually was a member of LinkedIn, expecting to find no one, and then realized that half the complete audience was using LinkedIn.
Yeah, I remember that. That was a couple of years ago, and I bet it was even more than half.
Yeah. I said, oh, God, I think I better get into it.
Well, it has its purposes, as does 3D printing and additive manufacturing, as we're going to discover during our segment with the A. Raymond Tinnerman folks. You know, this is a great conversation I had with them last week, and you and I could go prattling on about LinkedIn and everything else under the sun, but we probably wind up with a three-hour show at that point, and let's face it, nobody wants that.
Right.
So why don't we get to it right now? During the past several months, Fully Threaded listeners have been hearing more and more about 3D printing on the podcast and also about the wider additive manufacturing movement as well. We opened a lot of people's eyes to the subject, and when we held the breakout session this past June at Fastener Tech 13, it was brought to my attention that there's a company known to many in the fastener industry that's on the cutting edge of the 3D revolution, and that's A. Raymond Tinnerman. Joining me now to discuss that is Todd Hemingway. He's the Vice President of Engineering at Race Americas, and also Senior Product Development Engineer, Jason Resnar, also of Race Americas. Gentlemen, welcome. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you. Thank you for having us.
Todd, now, what is the relationship between Race Americas and A. Raymond Tinnerman?
Race Americas is the research and development group for A. Raymond Tinnerman. We work in the advanced development group. We're looking at technologies 5, 6, 7 years out, and really spend our time understanding the sciences that are coming down the pipe, like 3D printing and additive manufacturing, as to when and what purpose they'll have for our manufacturing plant.
I see. So you're right in there with A. Raymond Tinnerman. Now, many people know that back in 2009, the two companies came together, and I was surprised to learn after perusing your website that both started in the mid-1800s. Quite a history there, and it looks like you're a long time to come with your interest in additive manufacturing. I also saw up there that you're getting into solar in a big way. And of course, many people in the fastener industry simply think of Tinnerman parts and the close association with automotive.
Yeah, we're definitely working ourselves towards diversification. And some of our biggest growth is outside of automotive.
Interesting. Well, let's talk a little bit about your movement into additive manufacturing and 3D printing. How long have you been doing it? What drew you to this technology, into this movement?
We have been working with additive manufacturing now for the past 6 years. We actually got started together, Todd Hemingway and myself, back in those old Tinnerman days, discussing additive manufacturing and how we could implement it into the company. So back in 2008, we were able to purchase a small 3D printer. It was known as the Stratasys Dimension Elite, and we kind of grew the arena up from that point.
Now, Jason, there's a YouTube video featuring you. Is that the same printer that's in that video that you're referring to right now?
No, it's not. We actually decided back in 2010 to upgrade our additive manufacturing, and we ended up purchasing an Objet Connex 500, and that's the machine in the YouTube video that I'm speaking about.
Okay, now we'll put that up on our Facebook page. It's a short segment, but well worth a look. And in that video, you describe the various applications that you are using 3D for. Do you want to run down the line and enlighten listeners to that?
Yeah, absolutely. We started off with just generating sample parts for our customer. That definitely gives the idea of what the future of the part would look like, and it also kind of gives them a nice touchy-feely to the parts as well. But we also received many requests to provide more complex parts and more parts that we're able to functionally test. So we started looking into the capabilities of this particular machine, and we realized that we were able to do many more projects with it. So instead of just providing sample parts, we can go down the lines of actually 3D printing injection molds. So we can injection mold parts off of a printed part that we designed. It's literally that easy. We design a mold, we stick it in the injection molding machine, and we're actually able to provide the customer with full-on prototype parts out of the required materials that they specify. We can also do items such as gauges, fixtures, and item usages like that, again, provide rapid response to customer needs.
Now, I just want to make clear, you are both operating primarily in the R&D side, but you're actually doing this for real-life customers today. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's correct. Our primary customers, of course, the people who come first are the divisions within our own company. We are certainly willing and have worked with all of the customers throughout the world, really, with this technology, and we're happy to do so. But we're very much tied to our own sales organization and providing these kinds of products and services through them in a technical way so that we're not revealing some things that we would consider a trade secret to the outside world.
Okay, that's fair. Now, in my conversations with fastener people, one of the big topics that always seems to come up is the materials that you can work with. A lot of people think it's just these polymers and some plastics and things. I'm certainly not a chemical engineer. I know there's a lot of things that are on the cutting edge. Where do you guys see the materials capabilities expanding?
That's a good question. A perfect example is the injection molding that we're doing today. If you look at the materials that we can print out using our machine and additive manufacturing, we can print out 107 different materials. Now, those materials are not necessarily specified or characterized by our end use customers. So they're looking for nylon, they're looking for polypropylene. We can't provide that using the technologies that we have. Actually, no technology can actually do that today. So we look for ways around that. And again, going back to the injection molding, we're able to print a mold that can go into an injection molding machine, put that in there, and then we're able to shoot the nylon part, the polypropylene part, et cetera. So that's the option for us to get around the material issue. of additive manufacturing.
What about metals?
Good question. Metals out on the market today, the technologies involving additive manufacturing and powdered metals, those materials are right now extremely advanced, and they are they're actually becoming just as strong as the virgin material that's available out on the market. So titanium, steels, coppers, those machines are definitely advancing a lot quicker than on the composite side of the additive manufacturing world.
Interesting. So do you see a point in time in the near future when you'll actually be using 3D to create end components and do that more economically, more effectively than in conventional manufacturing?
I definitely believe that that's the trend. The benefit that we have right now of the nylons and the polypropylenes and those types of materials is that they are mass produced. Thus, the cost per pound is relatively low compared to some of these other UV accelerated parts or some of these new polymers that are coming onto the marketplace. But if you were to produce in the quantities that you're talking about in these plastics, then the prices would come down significantly. The benefit of having a part that you 3D print is that we can make a tool, but the benefit would be that you don't actually have to produce a tool. So if you need 1,000 of something, but the tool was $500,000 or $100,000 or some number like that to produce that tool, it would be it would pay for it right now to skip building a tool and just print the parts. So the volume, depending on the size of the part, depending on the complexity, right now there are some products being used in production settings. That trend has already started. And as the costs come down for the materials, as the quantity and the volume goes up for the materials, that break-even point will move further and further out.
Sure. Thus is the evolution of technology development. Now, in terms of these quote-unquote completed assemblies that we're able to generate with 3D now, here's kind of a gotcha. Can you create any of these using different materials, or do they all have to be out of the same material?
The particular machine that we have, like I said, we're able to print 107 different materials. It doesn't mean we can print 107 different materials at one time, but we are able to print up to two different materials at one time, and then we can digitally mix those materials together. So we can print a rigid material alongside a flexible material, but at the same time, we're able to combine those two to come up with a level of different softnesses or durometers for clips and fasteners like that.
I think the other thing to keep in mind is that, yes, right now we could make, for instance, a bolt with a seal on in one print, because now we have the ability to make the hard plastic or the hard metal part and have the seal or the Santoprene type material or synthetic rubber is two of the materials that we can print at the same time. So you can have an assembly with both hard and soft properties throughout it.
Yeah, see, that's what I think is going to really, really shock a lot of people when they see some of these things. You know, at the Fastener Tech session that I mentioned at the top of the segment, we brought some very simple samples. I did a couple 5/8 nuts and bolts sets that we printed out on a MakerBot. Nothing too earth shattering if you're familiar with it at all. But we also brought some fully functional, like gearboxes. Now they were all one material, but when we told people that there was no flashing, nothing, this is what came out of the printer, they couldn't believe it.
Yeah, there's a funny story. I attend the annual Rapid conference every year. And one of the big questions was, what do you call an assembly that comes off of one of these machines that's already assembled? It's really not an assembly anymore, is it?
Right.
So what's that term now?
Yeah, welcome to the Jetsons.
Exactly. We can print things that you cannot manufacture.
Yeah, I think that's a great point, Jason. People are waking up to this as well. Not only are we probably going to be replacing a lot of conventional manufacturing, as this technology develops, but we're also going to add new capabilities. Things that just simply aren't able to be produced now are going to be on the table. So that's a really good point. You made me think of something when you said your participation in this conference. Are you involved with NAMI, the National Additive Manufacturing Innovation Institute?
We are currently investigating that group that was developed, but right now we're not, but we're still investigating the possibilities of venturing in with that group.
Okay. I got to get out to Youngstown one of these days and take a look at what they're doing out there. I myself have been reading about it, but haven't had too much close association yet. But hey, these things are all emerging.
Yeah, exactly. It's still pretty new to a lot of people, so that's why a company like ours is still in the investigation period.
Right. Now, where do you see additive manufacturing coming on most powerfully currently in automotive?
In the automotive sector is also quite interesting. Some of the numbers are really low in the automotive industry. A lot of the industries that are taking this advanced technology on, you'll see in medical, you'll see it in aerospace, but automotive, for some reason, they're really not grasping onto the technology as quickly as the other industries. Again, we use it as a means to get into newer customers and show them advanced technologies and things that we can do. So it's more of an introduction for us into the automotive world, just because how slowly that they seem to be getting involved with the technology.
I think the reason for that also is the new materials and the classifications. We're having to work with the Automotive Society of Engineers, working with manufacturing engineers, and really setting up a classification for these materials that they just don't recognize right now. So one of the basic problems that they have is that they have a book that says, here's the materials that we can use, and there's no additive manufacturing materials in the book. So that's really a structural thing that we're pushing right now with both the supply base and the OEM.
That's interesting. I was looking out on the IFI's website, and I noticed that they have just little mention of standards for additive manufacturing, but it wouldn't surprise me if that begins to become something more of a topic. There's a pretty good example of, I guess, cutting-edge technology being used in the jet engine assembly business, particularly with General Electric. And I think a lot of people have seen this already. We'll throw it out on our Facebook page, but they're using additive manufacturing in production jet engine manufacturing. So it surprises me that automotive hasn't taken that up yet.
Yeah, again, a lot of that as well is mainly the metal side of the industry of additive manufacturing. So the Boeings, the GEs, they're all investing heavily on the metal side of additive manufacturing. It's not necessarily the composite side. So you have to keep those two sides separate because of the differences in the strength of the materials as well. So a lot of the aerospace is using the metals because they can create now long tubes with features on it for attachments and things like that, where in the old days, they used to use a lot of welding and assemblies, and now you take that all away by using printing.
That's progress for you.
Right.
So let's talk a little bit more about A. Raymond Tinderman and what you are currently focused on. You mentioned that you're very concerned or that you're very interested in diversification. What areas are you looking at?
We are looking at, of course, the solar industry. We have a clean energy group that we work with every day and is growing quite well. You know, the doom and gloom in the newspapers would think that the solar industry is dead globally. It's actually in places doing very well. And we're seeing the days of government subsidies in some of these areas just not continuing or at least reducing, and people still being able to make money, still being able to get into the business. And really, it's an area where there's 1,000 people or 1,000 companies that are making solar panels. There needs to be 10. So there's going to be news every week and every day about this company going out of business or that company going out of business until it really rationalizes itself into a sustainable business. Other areas that we work in are medical. We work in the organic and bio areas for biodegradable plastics. And some of the products that we work in there are simple clips for holding tomato plants to greenhouses, things like that. So there's all kinds of crazy stuff that we like to do. We have an industrial group that is concentrating on white goods, washers, dryers, machine, those kinds of things, HVAC. And so it's quite a diverse.
Yeah, it sure sounds like it. And I have to commend you. The website for A. Raymond Tinnerman is very well done. There's quite a bit of information out there. I'll just throw the website for folks, and it's araymondtinnerman.com, of all things. Get out there if you want to learn a little bit more about some of this stuff, folks.
It is a very comprehensive. It is a very large website. You can spend some time on it, but it's also a very easy-to-use website. And if you are particularly interested in some industry, whether it be solar or automotive or white goods, you can get to that section of the website with just a couple of clicks, and then we can be very specific to your needs, your usage, and what things that you might want from a company like A. Raymond Tinnerman very quickly. So it's a very structured website, and you can actually log in and get into areas where if you are joining it, you can see catalogs that, you know, the general public might not be able to see.
Okay, good to know. Now, can people contact you both through the website as well?
Yes, there are contact names, both for industrial and automotive, and the other groups as well.
Very good. Well, before we wrap it up, I'd like to thank Tammy Work of A. Raymond Tinnerman. She and I talked at the NFDA meeting, actually, and she introduced us and informed me really about what you guys were doing. And it's exciting to talk to you, and I hope that we can talk again as you make more breakthroughs and as additive manufacturing and 3D printing continue to expand and develop.
I would also like to thank Tammy, and thank you very much, Eric.
Well, we've been talking with Todd Hemingway and Jason Resnar of A. Raymond Tinnerman. They're on the cutting edge of additive manufacturing and 3D printing, and we'll be right back with more Fully Threaded Radio.
Two men, one server, a fastener dog, and a stunning lack of more lucrative alternatives. It's Fully Threaded Radio.
Looking for package fasteners of all kinds? How about specials or unique parts that no one seems to carry? At Trinity Hardware Headquarters, we believe in parts done right. And our new catalogue is available online at trinityhardwarehq.com, featuring over 30,000 different types of fasteners available in package quantities, product kits, and assortments, including hundreds of hard-to-find parts, as well as the most popular inch and metric sizes. Trinity Hardware Headquarters has locations throughout the Midwest and South, and over 400,000 square feet of warehouse space with 18 million pounds of fasteners ready to fill your requirements. Our featured products include number 3 and number 7 head plow bolts, grade 5 and grade 8 carriage bolts, hook bolts, tap bolts, and nuts and washers of all kinds, plus much more. Visit our website at www.trinityhardwarehq.com or give Trinity Hardware Headquarters a call at 888-232-1010. Trinity Hardware Headquarters, the parts done right.
Hi, everyone. This is Russ Dorn, president of PacWest Fastener Association, inviting you to join us for our fall conference in Vancouver, British Columbia, September 19th through the 22nd. This conference is open to all in the fastener industry. And even if you are not currently a PacWest member, you can enjoy the PacWest member registration rate. Come experience an incredible setting during a spectacular season. And see for yourself the buzz on fancy bacon, excellent donuts, maple syrup, and beaver tail pastries. We prepared a top-drawer business agenda focused on practical and applicable education relevant to fastener business owners and executives. And some very exciting, unique social events like our own PacWest curling competition in a very modified Olympic format that will favor those less adept with brooms and stones on an ice rink. And I'm pretty sure this may be the first for the Link photo conference coverage. You can even order a curling team t-shirt. All details and registration can be found at PacWest.org. So check your passport, grab some loonies, and join us in Canada. This conference will be a beauty.
Hey, everybody. This is Vicki Lester with the Pacific West Fastener Association, and you're listening to Fully Threaded Radio.
Brian and Eric, back with you. Just fastener people helping fastener people.
Right. Now, folks, just in case you still think this 3D printing stuff is all for the birds, I'd like to point out that the National Aeronautics and Space Administration has been testing for the last 6 months 3D printing under weightless conditions, and the aim is to install a 3D printer on the space station to reproduce items that would otherwise have to be shipped up there by supply rocket.
That's fascinating. The applications for this stuff, you know, you just never know where it's going to wind up.
Yeah, I mean, just think of the options. Oh, we'll wait for 5 months till the next resupply spaceship comes up, or we'll print one out. So
I think more and more people are understanding this, and we're going to continue to bring fastener-related 3D printing and additive manufacturing information to the industry through Fully Threaded. So, oh, one other point is a follow-on to the conversation with the Tinnerman people. They're getting into solar in a big way, and they had a few comments about the future. And a lot of people poo-poo solar because, well, let's face it, right now it's still just not viable. But I was interested to hear during a lecture I was watching, our old pal Ray Kurzweil, he is convinced that solar is definitely the way the planet's going to be fueled in coming decades. I don't know exactly when he thinks that breakthrough is going to happen, but he's 100% convinced that's the future.
Right. It's just a lot of development has to go into the technology because it's just not quite efficient enough at the moment. And also they have to deal with the problem that no one successfully addressed, which is storage. It's all very well to generate, you know, power in the daytime, but we need it nighttime too.
Exactly. And there are a number of strategies to address that, and that's a whole show unto itself. But
right.
Great conversation with the A. Raymond Tinnerman guys. Oh, and before we move on, one other comment about the conversation with the A. Raymond people. After we stopped recording, we were talking about fastener education. I mentioned to them the program over at Dr. Tony Lusher was doing over at, the University of Ohio?
Right.
And then we also talked about the Fastener Training Institute, and they mentioned to me something that I was unfamiliar with, which is a program over at Oakland University that's in Rochester, Michigan. We'll put a link to this up on the Facebook page, but they've got a program. The acronym is FAJRI, stands for Fastener and Joining Research Institute, and it's known as the only facility of its kind in the world for its academic advanced status, and I'd never heard of it. So if that's something that interests you folks, get out there to our Facebook page. Again, that's the FADJ program run through Oakland University.
Right. And well, marvelous program. I think I would have changed the acronym slightly.
Yeah, but it sounds ever so governmental.
Right. That is true.
More alphabet soup from the government. Oh, and quickly, speaking of education, congratulations to Traveling Salesman for completing the Fastener Training Week in Cleveland. He wrote about that extensively on his Fastener Talk blog and kept us abreast of the goings-on there. It was almost like you were in the class yourself. He mentioned during his most recent post that it had been like 29 years since he'd sat in a classroom for a week straight, and that all by itself was a challenge.
Right. Yeah, it's a little bit of a a bad memory to most of us, actually.
As of when we're recording this, he did not say whether or not he passed the final exam, but we got our fingers crossed, so good luck to us.
Good, yeah.
Fastener News Report's coming up, folks, and that is sponsored today by Volt Industrial Plastics and Fastener Technology International Magazine. We thank you all for listening, and in keeping with the theme today, so to speak, eating our fastener soup.
That's right.
Here's Mike McNulty.
Thanks, Eric and Brian. This is Mike McNulty from Fastener Technology International Magazine, bringing you the Fastener News Report, which is sponsored today by Volt Industrial Plastics, makers of the world's finest plastic fasteners. While our country seems to be going haywire with unscrupulous behavior invading Major League Baseball locker rooms, internet and television newsrooms, fast food unions, New York City campaigns, and Detroit public offices, not to mention the halls of Congress and offices of alphabet soup agencies like the IRS, HHS, and EPA. But on the bright side, and from my fastener focal point, our industry looks pretty clean and respectable and loaded with realistic stories, some of which make up today's Fastener News Report. In today's top story, we're going to get the July 2013 results of FDI, also known as the Fastener Distributor Index. Also in today's report, we have newsmaker headlines from Porteous Fastener, SC Fastening Systems, Reed Machinery, Holochrome, JLM Supply, Rotobolt, Valley Fastener Group, EFC, and the Worth Group. We also have a back page report on the top party schools in the United States. We will get to all of that and the Fastener Distributor Index results for July right after this.
Volt Industrial Plastics is the source for all your high quality plastic fastener needs, and customer service is their number one priority. With almost 1 million fasteners in stock and same day shipping on stock items, Volt Industrial Plastics carries inventory so you don't have to. Volt manufactures everything in-house from over 125 different materials, and they're proud to say 100% of their products are American-made. And of course, custom tooling and in-house bagging is available. Contact Volt online at www.voltplastics.com. Volt Industrial Plastics, makers of the world's finest plastic fasteners.
For a selection of hundreds of thousands of fasteners, check out your local Fastenal store or Fastenal.com. We can stock domestic or internationally sourced product locally and keep your bin stock filled for you at no additional expense. We are a 9001:2008 certified company that's made a huge investment in quality control so you don't have to. And if you can't find it on our shelf, we can make it for you at the quantity you need at one of our many manufacturing facilities. Learn more by contacting your local Fastenal store or visiting Fastenal.com today.
Back to the Fastener News Report with Mike McNulty.
In July, the FDI dropped to 49.7 versus 51.3 in June. The Fastener Distributor Index data is collected and analyzed by BB&T Capital Markets and the FCH Sourcing Network, and it seeks to identify demand, pricing, and outlook trends within the American fastener industry. To get the details on these almost unchanged results, we talked to Holden Lewis of BB&T Capital Markets. Hi, Holden. Thanks for joining us on the Fastener News Report.
Hi, Mike. My pleasure as always.
Glad that you can join us. Now, what can you tell us about these FDI results for July?
Well, as it relates to demand, pricing, and outlook, frankly, things were really very similar to what we've been seeing the last few months, which probably doesn't surprise anybody. From a demand standpoint, some readers might look at the reading in July, as you said, that was 49.7, and might get somewhat alarmed by that because, again, by definition in these indices, anything south of 50 suggests some sort of contraction. And so the idea that we went from 51.3 in June to 49.7 in July, on the surface, that could be a bit alarming. It could suggest some weakening. But the truth is you need to look at these numbers in ranges. And from the work that we've always done, on the national PMI, for instance, really there's very little difference in terms of the impact on demand, whether your reading is 49 or your reading is 51. So, you know, you have to allow for some wiggle in these metrics as you go month to month. I think that's what we got here. And the truth of the matter is, if you look over the past 4 or 5 months or so, you've sort of been hanging around in this, or at around 50, plus or minus a point or two. And what that continues to tell us is that demand continues to be relatively sluggish. And that's something that we continue to get. As you know from our last call last month, we've just come through what we call earnings season, where all of our companies have to confess what their results look like. And you know what? The results didn't look that much different from what they looked like in Q1. No one's talking about growth running away here. Everyone's talking about a sluggish overall environment. They're operating well within it, but that's what we continue to face. And that's what this FDI continues to tell us, that demand continues to be, you're pretty sluggish at this point, you know, to the point of very, very little growth. Now, if there was one change in the index this month, however, it was in the outlook statement. If you recall, last month we saw a lot of people who were in the camp that felt that 6 months out would be higher. A lot of those people came back into the camp of 6 months out would be sort of the same as it is today. And in the July reading, we saw that again skew upwards towards towards thinking that the next 6 months will be higher. In fact, half of the respondents this month viewed the next 6 months as likely to be better than things are currently. And, you know, last month may have proved to be a little bit of an aberration. The truth is we've seen some pretty good readings out of the outlook statements here lately. And the truth of the matter is people just are not scared about what the next 6 months look like in terms of the likelihood of any sort of downturn. And in fact, you know, in the earnings season, one of the things that was somewhat welcome is you're starting to hear some companies, not fastener companies, but general industrial companies, starting to feel confident enough that at least things aren't going to go down. And as a result, maybe they can start doing a little bit additional spending. We're seeing a little bit of that happening. So the number, frankly, it didn't look any different from what we've seen the last few months. But as we've said before, you know, maybe there are some signs that things are going to firm up a little bit going forward.
Well, that's good to hear. And I do note here that the people who think the outlook is going to be lower is down into the single digits. So that's also trending in the right direction.
It's true. I mean, there just is not, and this is true not only in this index, but in the earnings reports and the companies we speak to, there really is very little fear of a downturn. The question really is when or if you're going to get an upturn, but very little fear of a downturn.
Okay. Now, you mentioned PMI, which tracks overall manufacturing sector activity. And I was looking at the data. It looks like that fared better than the FDI did this time around. Any comments on that?
Yeah, you're right. I mean, a pretty big divergence. The national PMI, which is the overall manufacturing sector in the U.S., not just fasteners, but it went from 50.9 in June up to 55.4 in July. So that's a pretty robust number, particularly for this stage of the economy. Now, on the one hand, I will point out that we've had a divergence like this before. Go back to February, the PMI was at 54.2 and the FDI was at 48.7. At the end of the day, frankly, the FDI was a better measure because since February, we haven't seen much in the way of growth. Certainly nothing consistent with more like a 55 PMI. So, you know, this divergence, we'll see how it plays out. But what that PMI reading at 55 is telling you is 3 to 5 months out, you should be seeing better growth than what you're seeing today. And again, time will tell, but a few things. You know, one is the our own outlook statements from our FDI obviously got much better this month as well. We also saw one comment from one of the respondents really talking about how even though demand right now is sluggish, they're looking at their customers' build schedules, and those are looking up at a pretty good clip as you go forward a quarter or two. So, you know, again, maybe some signs that we're starting to see things loosen up a little bit out there. Hopefully the PMI in this case will prove to, you know, to be a little bit ahead of the FDI and paint a better picture for 3 to 5 months out. You know, we'll see. Too early to say definitively, but so some interesting bubbling up of stuff in the readings.
Yeah, definitely. That caught my attention for sure. Now, in these surveys, I know that you usually ask a supplemental question, and you also give the respondents a chance to put in their ad lib comments. Anything? Did you have a supplemental question this time around?
We did have a supplemental question. As you know, we always ask about how inventories are playing out in the routine FDI, and because we've been seeing pretty consistently people saying that customer inventories are too low, but they seem to be staying too low. We decided to try to get a little bit of color on that and ask people specifically about what they're seeing in terms of channel inventories. And I can't say that the results were particularly surprising, but I think that they should be somewhat comforting. You know, if you look at it, you know, about, I would say 80% of respondents, give or take, believe that customer inventories are simply either sized right or too low at this point. You know, and again, I think that that's consistent with the FDI reading. But I think just as important, if not more so, is only about 19% of respondents believe that there are further inventory cuts to come. And what that means is the large majority of people are seeing the inventory reduction phase having run its course here. Now, I'm not sure that there's any guarantee that inventories get restocked. Clearly, there has to be a catalyst that gets people to open up the purse strings a little bit. But to the extent that we have been seeing or that our growth has been impaired of late by customers pulling back on the inventories, this would suggest that that process is completed. And if there is a catalyst that gets people more confident to open up the purse strings, that's something that can give future growth a little bit of a boost, if you will. And so, you know, the status of the inventories, which, by the way, I don't think that's just in the fastener world. I speak to somebody in metalworking who also said any distributor who's inclined to cut inventories has already done so. You know, the fact that inventories at this point are leaned out, whenever there's a reason for people to start spending again, that could boost that growth that much more. So again, along with the theme that people aren't concerned about the downside or looking for the upside, you know, these are some of the things that no doubt people are looking at and saying, you know, it's probably better to be making a bet to the upside than the downside at this point.
So in general, people are ready for growth. I think that would be a pretty common thing to
People are ready to for say. Growth. They're just looking for any excuse whatsoever.
All right. Once again, Holden, thanks for joining us on the Fastener News Report to give us your insight on the Fastener Distributor Index.
Thank you very much, and I look forward to doing it again next month.
That was Holden Lewis of BB&T Capital Markets. Holden has a regular column on the FDI that appears in the print and digital editions of Fastener Technology International Magazine, and the 192-page August issue is online right now at fastenertech.com. Next up, today's top Fastener Newsmaker headlines. Porteous Fastener has promoted 4 existing employees. Carrie Haggerty is the new Denver branch manager. Dick Klepp has been promoted to Vice President of Materials. Bill Flynn is now Vice President of Procurement, with oversight of Porteous's Taiwan operations, and Dick McDaniel has been promoted to the position of Southwest Regional Manager. SC Fastening Systems celebrated its move to Macedonia, Ohio last June with an open house to showcase the company's new 23,000 square foot office and warehouse, which is 4 times bigger than its previous facility. Reed Machinery and Holochrome have jointly announced an agreement for Reed to supply a new Hartford flat die thread rolling machine to add to Holochrome's large diameter fastener manufacturing operations in Connecticut. JLM Supply has been appointed the exclusive distributor of Rotoboat measurement fasteners throughout Western Canada. Key JLM personnel are receiving technical training from Rotoboat in the United Kingdom. Valley Fastener Group has announced the opening of its new 40,000 square foot Forgo Fasteners Division manufacturing site and distribution warehouse located in Naperville. The new facility is located just down the street from the company's 45,000 square foot Aurora Valley Rivet Division. EFC International in St. Louis has announced personnel changes. Matthew Dudenhofer has been named president of EFC, and Dave Jones has been promoted to the position of vice president of business units. Dudenhofer joined EFC in 1993 as a sales engineer, and Jones joined the company in 2010 as a plastic business unit manager. Meanwhile, Douglas Adams stays strongly invested in EFC and will maintain the position of EFC's CEO. And our top newsmaker headline is that the Wirth Group in Germany has appointed Mark Strandquist as Executive Vice President of Wirth Industry of North America Companies. As Executive VP, Strandquist will be responsible for the 6 Wirth companies in North America: Wirth Action in Florida, Wirth Adams in Minnesota, Wirth Revcar in Virginia, Wirth Service Supply in Indiana, Wirth Snyder in Kentucky, and Marine Fasteners in Florida. Strandquist previously served as CEO for Wirth Snyder and Wirth Service Supply, and he is also the current executive VP for Wirth's hot forming companies, Doka Fasteners, with operations in Norway and Michigan, and Cardinal Fastener in Ohio. Finally, let's turn to the back page for a report on the top party schools in the United States. The Princeton Review has published its annual list of the top party colleges in the United States, and I am pleased to report that 8 out of the top 10 schools are located in states with substantial fastener industry activity. According to the latest Department of Commerce data, the universities of California, Illinois, Florida, Wisconsin, as well as Syracuse, Ohio, Penn State, and Lehigh universities are all located in states that have hundreds of fastener manufacturing operations employing thousands of people in the fastener industry. There are three states that have more than one school on the top party list: Ohio, Pennsylvania, and Florida, which are ranked number 4, 6, and 17 in terms of the total number of fastener manufacturing establishments per state. Does this mean that children of people in the fastener industry like to party, or that focusing on fasteners and partying have something in common? I don't know if there's a real correlation, but I have witnessed many parties at fastener industry functions, so anything is possible. This has been Mike McNulty of Fastener Technology International, bringing you the Fastener News Report. Remember to send your news, pictures, comments, corrections, or complaints to me at McNulty@FastenerTech.com.
Up next, Bob Porteous shares his thoughts on the latest anti-dumping case, as well as the future of Porteous Fastener Company. It's Fully Threaded. When top quality and outstanding service are at the top of your list in fastener suppliers, turn to Stelfast. Since 1976, Stelfast has grown to become an industry-leading importer and manufacturer of the highest quality industrial fasteners, specialty items, and automotive parts. Our array of facilities across North America and in Asia, along with full quality control labs and ISO 9001-2008 certifications, ensure the highest quality parts, and at Stelfast, they're delivered with undisputed service excellence. We're family-run and dedicated to your success. Our customers have come to depend on the expertise of our staff and the quality of our products. We also offer a wide range of secondary services to meet some of the toughest requirements you might have. Contact Stelfast today through our website at www.stelfast.com and put us to work for you. Stelfast. Service you deserve. People you trust.
Fastener friends, if you're looking to celebrate a big sale, or if you just want to unwind after a tough day on the job, do it with the golden brown goodness of Old Rusty Bolt Beer. It is the finest tasting beer in the fastener world because Old Rusty Bolt Beer is brewed specifically to satisfy the palates of fastener folks everywhere. That name again, Old Rusty Bolt Beer. An Old Rusty Bolt added to every bottle to enhance flavoring. Get some today.
The preceding message was brought to you by Buckeye Fasteners and Yohannan Bolt Company, official fastener show sponsors of Old Rusty Bolt, the preferred beer of traveling salesmen.
Tell them Rusty sent ya.
Hi everyone, it's Brian Musker. If you're listening to Fully Threaded, then you're no doubt aware of the FCH Sourcing Network, found at fastenersclearinghouse.com. You've probably also heard about our legendary scrubber software that makes listing your inventory on FCH a snap. But have you heard about the new FCH SmartLink interface? With SmartLink, users of Business Edge, InSQL, and Distribution One have a new weapon in the war against excess inventory, because each of these platforms now links directly to the FCH scrubber system through an automated interface. The best part is that this new tool is available at no additional charge to FCH members who use Business Edge, InSQL, or Distribution One. With SmartLink, you can keep your inventory listings up to date with the click of a button, so it's a win-win for all FCH users. The new FCH FastLink interface is really big news, and we'll be thrilled to have your company using it. Business Edge, InSQL, and Distribution One users should contact their software provider for details, or just call me, Brian Musker. You can reach me through the FCH website at www.fastenersclearinghouse.com. That's fasteners with an S, and the S is for scrubber.
This is Chris from Hudson Fasteners, Fastener News at Twitter, and Fascinating Domain, and you're listening to Fully Threaded Radio.
Well,
Well, if you've been in the fastener industry for 5 minutes or longer, you know the name Porteous Fastener Company. And here with us to talk about what's going on from their perspective is Mr. Bob Porteous. Hey, Bob, thanks for joining us on Fully Threaded again.
Thanks, Eric. Good to talk to you and get together again. It's been a while.
Well, I just saw the Porteous Easing fly by on Twitter, and I see you guys have a lot going on as always. Now, are you getting any golf in this season, or is it taking all your time business as usual?
Business as usual. Not a whole lot of golf, unfortunately. And kids and all that other kind of stuff, too, in the summertime makes it a little bit tough to get the golf games in. So, but we're busy. You know, a lot of stuff going on in the industry right now. So, and with our company right now, we're doing some adjusting to our business model. And so those things are taking up a lot of time.
Yeah, I hear you. And there's some headlines out there that you probably have some thoughts on too. And we can talk about all this stuff. This was mentioned in your e-zine. We've got a new anti-dumping situation developing, and that's on threaded rod coming in from India and Thailand?
Yeah, that's correct. And a few domestic manufacturers of threaded rod petitioned the U.S. government on anti-dumping rod. This is the second case. If you recall, China was targeted a few years back, and they were successful in proving that China was dumping rod into this country. So, you know, at that time, prices, you know, they escalated pretty significantly, and then they kind of settled down and came back down again as the importers were able to reestablish their supply chain and find other countries where they could, you know, buy threaded rod and where the capacity was there and all that. And now we've got a situation where they've targeted both Thailand and India, and there's a lot of threaded rod coming out of both those countries. PFC doesn't really buy anything from India, but a major source of supply for us is in Thailand, so that has affected us. Let me step back a little bit. I guess the timing on all of this is the decision from Commerce should be by the end of the year. The decision is then. So most importers are scrambling around to find new sources of supply, and we already buy from some other countries that we weren't sole sourced into Thailand. But what that does mean, obviously, is that there'll probably be some shortages of threaded rod in the marketplace in the coming months. A lot of factories have canceled orders, or importers are very reluctant to place large orders as we approach the deadline for being able to get the product in before the duty is imposed. Because obviously, if you miss it, then you have duty and your costs are all out of whack. So there's a lot of that going on. So the things we're watching right now is kind of what's going on in the market. We've had some people try to run on the inventory already, just trying to fill up their coffers, if you will.
Sure.
So anyway, that's kind of what we are really expecting, is that there'll be some short-term shortages, and those shortages will probably result in increased price of threaded rod. In the coming months. How long all that will last, I don't know. We only know our little part of it, obviously, and there's a lot of other people bringing rod into this country. So we don't know, you know, how this will all play out. But that's what we're projecting right now, and as we learn more, we will share it in our e-news or in any other way that we can, trade shows and other things where we have access to our customers.
Now, if you had to wager a guess, could you put one down for the percentage increase that we'll be seeing?
You know, I really can't. That'd be a hard one to say, because I don't know what other people are doing out in the marketplace. I know that there's some people bring in rod in kind of contractual ways, and I don't know how this impacts them. So if their supply chains aren't interrupted, then maybe there wouldn't be the price increases, because the market will kind of the market demands a price or whatever. But if there are some significant shortages, then the increases could be significant.
Fair enough.
I think it's just a it's wide open at this point. So, my suggestion would be is if you have a partner and, as a supplier, get with them and try to, you know, figure out how to protect yourself if you're a distributor.
Yep. Now, did you have any inkling that this was coming down the road? I mean, did you notice any activity in the threaded rod space that led you to believe we were going to see another anti-dumping case coming?
No, nothing really. You know, it's a pretty competitive commodity product. So there wasn't really any indication until obviously we were notified by Commerce and we got our questionnaire to fill out, like most of the major importers of record. So we didn't see anything coming that anybody was trying to put something together.
Well, we'll stay tuned, and if indeed the ruling comes towards the end of the year, then I guess we'll know then.
Yes, we will.
You're also talking a little bit about your socket business in the e-zine, and sounds like you're going full steam ahead with that. That, of course, you announced last year that you were going to go big in that space, and what's the latest?
Well, you know, the latest is we put in a huge investment in sockets. You know, in July of 11, actually, the amount of SKU stock keeping units that we had on hand in sockets was about 2,800 items. And July of 13, that number is now 10,000, close to 10,500 SKUs. And the inventory on hand was just a little over a couple million pounds, and we've more than tripled that. So we've made a huge investment in sockets. It's very broad. We're including, you know, zinc plated and baked sockets. We have patch sockets, packaged in bulk. So it's a very broad line and very deep as far as inventory is concerned. We made a good investment in it. It's growing on a daily basis. And fairly significantly, but we are not, you know, we're still, a small player in compared to, the big boys in there. But we're making some headway, and, I think, you know, we're getting people's attention. Quality's good. And, so, I mean, we're starting to make some headway. You know, like I said, we've got a little promotions going on and all the time. Right now we've got some sharp pricing on the plated and patch sockets, just so people would think of us for those two product categories, which they probably don't, and haven't. But, you know, we got to change that perception, and let people realize that we're serious about sockets and we've got a good inventory to sell.
It's really amazing in this industry, is small as it is in some ways, getting a message out like that. You know, you figure you're doing such a great job, and then you realize many of the people that you're trying to target, they've never heard your message. You ever feel like that?
Yeah, I think you do. And you know, that the thing is that, you know, people are creatures of habit. They've been buying from certain product categories from certain suppliers for a long time. So they just kind of naturally gravitate that way. And decide that, you know, they need to, that's where they buy it, and they don't even think about it. You know, you have to constantly remind them that you've got it and let it sink in. So, you know, I imagine, you know, if we ever tried to get into the stainless field, it'd be the same thing. Nobody would ever think about us as a viable stainless supplier, today, because we really, you know, we don't really tread in that area. So, it's just getting that message out. You know, we're doing it a lot with the e-news and with email blasts and trying to, you know, electronic media, which is more direct, I guess. You know, it's kind of hard to quantify which way works the best. And so we're just, you know, word of mouth is another good way that we get it out there with our salespeople, both inside and out.
Absolutely. Now, speaking of word of mouth, we started this dialogue actually maybe 2 weeks back. I called you because I wanted to pick your brain on what's going on with your Cleveland facility. I've got a pretty strong network out in that part of the world, and there was a lot of buzz that things were changing with your Cleveland facility. You mentioned that you had repurposed to more of a cross-dock facility, and can you fill us in on that?
Sure, yeah. Well, things are changing for Porteous, you know, in a lot of areas. We've been really streamlining our operations. Our goal for a while has been to centralize as many of the operations as we can into our six regional distribution centers, as we call them, and they're located in LA here, where our corporate headquarters is, and then Seattle, Chicago, Dallas, Atlanta, and New Jersey. Those are bigger buildings for us. They're easier for us to import directly into those facilities, so we can eliminate some handling and all that. In our smaller branches, we've been decentralizing or de-emphasizing, I should say, you know, who we're selling to. So, for example, in Cleveland, they have a territory, Southern Ohio, Michigan, Western New York, Western PA, and all that. Well, from Cleveland, we were shipping that product, LTL to get it into Michigan or down into the southern part of the state or whatever. We can also ship that product from Chicago, LTL, and the customer will get it, overnight just as he would from Cleveland. But for us, we have to continuously restock the Cleveland branch with, inventory. So we're transferring inventory in there that we would have, either received in Santa Fe Springs or Chicago and put up on the shelf and then pull it back down off the shelf to ship it to Cleveland so they can put it on the shelf and, ultimately pull it back down and ship it to the customer when we get an order. So, by doing what we're doing, we've just eliminated about three touches to the inventory and all that redundant handling. What we've done there is we have a really good sales team there in Cleveland. They're run, you know, the branch manager, area sales manager for that area is Frank DeVito. He's a great guy. He's actually handling the Cleveland market and all of New York and up the eastern part of the country now. So the sales team is in place, and we just have a little cross-dock facility. So if the customers anywhere in the region qualify for a prepaid shipment, they get a prepaid shipment direct to them. Those customers that are in Cleveland that could have used our facility for will call still can. We just aggregate the shipment each night in from Chicago and ship it into to Cleveland, and it's available for will call in the morning. So the only difference, I guess, for not having a branch in the Cleveland market is that for those customers that could will call, you can't order from us today and pick it up today. But other than that, service is identical. And for anybody that's in the outlying part of the Cleveland territory, there's no difference. They couldn't get product today. Best case scenario was next day service and then adhering to our freight policy. So we're doing that in Cleveland and we're looking at some other locations as well. We've talked to customers about it that would be affected. And we've gotten, a lot of people understanding what we're doing. We've got a lot of partners out there that, are very interested in seeing us succeed. So they're willing to work with us. So we're just, quite honestly, we need to get our cost structure down. And we've made some significant strides in that, over the last few months, actually over the last, year or so, but more significantly now with some of these, actions. So probably catches people a little bit by surprise. When you do something like that, because they're like, well, you know what, that's a change and nobody likes change. and I know that, yeah. Even internally, it took a little selling for people to understand, what we're doing. But
sure.
Like I said, Frank jumped on it right away in his region. He saw the benefits of it. He's a good sales guy. He's got great relationships out there. So I think all is well there. We've done, New Jersey's another area where we've made some changes there and we've actually, we don't have the sales force that we did there. We had some people leave and we made some choices on some other people and we've consolidated that activity now into Cleveland, or a lot of that activity. There's still a couple salespeople in New Jersey, but a lot of the phone activity is there. And we have a voice over IP phone system. So basically, you could route calls anywhere. If we have a branch go down and somebody cuts a power line someplace or does something, we can reroute the phones to a different branch. And there's customers that have that, you know, they've probably experienced that where they call and then they think they're talking, you know, they want to call Houston, but Houston's down and they're actually talking to somebody in Dallas and they can still get their order taken care of and all that. So, so bringing, you know, centralizing our sales teams as much as we can and centralizing operations, that's the direction that we're headed. And, you know, those changes out there probably got people, thinking, but, you know, we're committed. We want to, you know, we're changing our business model and that's what we're going to do.
Well, you mentioned it, earlier that there's a lot of people out there, your partners and your customers that want you to succeed. And I could tell you that's 100% true because I talk to people like that on a weekly basis. And well, you've been around since 1966. You got a great book of customers. But you mentioned it, people do talk, and you go to any fastener event these days and everybody's just talking about all the different consolidations that are happening. Everybody's wondering who's doing what, who's going to be here next year and so forth. And I mean, could you just put a capstone on that? I mean, what's going on in terms of Porteous for the next, say, 2 years? Where do you see yourself going?
Well, I hope we see ourselves growing significantly in our business plan of consolidating the branches, being a really good decision. You know, it is going to test some of our customers and some of our relationships. And there's no doubt that, you know, closing down a Cleveland warehouse will have an effect on our sales. You know, there's other competitors in town that have inventory there, but to the degree that we can you know, operationally do what we're talking about and be able to ship that product from our major centers and people really don't feel a difference in service, then we'll be successful. And like I said, you know, we've got some really strong relationships and that's what makes Porteous Porteous, I think, is our people, is our relationships, is our desire to really work with the distributors, get creative, help them grow, because most distributors are, you know, privately held small companies, you know, working on, you know, bank lines or the cash flow is tight and all that kind of stuff. They're, you know, they're small businesses working that way. And we try to help them grow and, you know, work with them the best we can. So we hope that, you know, they'll see that and want to continue to support us, you know, and keep working with us and not look at when we close down a Cleveland branch as a negative, but look at it as a positive, you know, and, you know, quite frankly, when we do that closing down and consolidate the inventory back up into Chicago or the major buildings, you know, we're able to, have better fill rates, hopefully, and inventory is consolidated into fewer locations. It's a little easier to manage for us. So hopefully those things all translate into improved services and, you know, and then we're moving ahead and thriving.
Well, there's going to be a lot of information to put into the second edition of the book, The Porteous Story, which I read. I really enjoyed that book. Is that in the works yet?
The next 40 years? The next 40 years, I guess, or something like that. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, hopefully so. That's, you know, it's a lot of work right now for us, and we got, you know, a lot of people committed to it. Our team is solid and just, you know, continuing to fight the fight, you know, and get through this, transition of operations. And that's,
absolutely.
That's the big thing right now is doing that for us.
Yeah, for anybody who hasn't read that book and is interested in the fastener industry, I highly recommend it. And one of the main themes is definitely the relationships that you've built and that are the mainstay of your business. So I look forward to that second edition.
Well, and if anybody, you know, we still have plenty of copies. So I guess if anybody is interested, they could send an email to info@porteousfastener.com and that'll go to our marketing department and we can get a book out to anybody that would be interested in it. It is a good read and it talks a lot about our history, and about my dad and, some of the things that he went through. And, we've been down this path before, you know, I mean, the economy in the early 70s wasn't so good and the 80s and there's been times when, things have been tough in the past and we've weathered the storm. This one's a little different in that it's just been a long drawn out process and I think most distributors will agree. It's just, you know, we all would have thought that, we'd be a lot further back, in moving ahead than we are right now, and it's been kind of languishing for the last few years, and so it's been a much different experience this time around.
Right. Yeah, I got to tell you, one of my favorite stories, it's a harrowing tale of Bruce Darling being served some very dubious soup in Asia, and I won't go into more detail.
Yeah. Well, that's a reason why that most distributors should not go to Asia and try to import direct and buy from people like us, because, I mean, you know, the food that you have to endure and stuff like that, it's tough, I'll tell you. Bruce definitely took one for the team.
Well, Bob Porteous, we will look forward to watching all this unfold, as will the industry, and I sure do appreciate you joining us on Fully Threaded again.
Thank you very much, and we'll be at the PAC West, I guess, is the next kind of industry thing that we're going to be at, and then obviously Las Vegas follows shortly after that, and NAFTA shortly after that. So if anybody will be at those places exhibiting, and would love to a chance to see anybody and everybody.
Perfect. Hey, thanks again, and we'll be right back with Fully Threaded Radio.
Good deal. See you, Eric.
Hey, has anybody seen my goldfish crackers? If so, let me know on the other side. It's Fully Threaded.
Looking for package fasteners of all kinds? How about specials or unique parts that no one seems to carry? At Trinity Hardware Headquarters, we believe in parts done right, and our new catalogue is available online at trinityhardwarehq.com, featuring over 30,000 different types of fasteners available in package quantities, product kits, and assortments, including hundreds of hard-to-find parts as well as the most popular inch and metric sizes. Trinity Hardware Headquarters has locations throughout the Midwest and South, and over 400,000 square feet of warehouse space with 18 million pounds of fasteners ready to fill your requirements. Our featured products include number 3 and number 7 head plow bolts, grade 5 and grade 8 carriage bolts, hook bolts, tap bolts, and nuts and washers of all kinds, plus much more. Visit our website at www.trinityhardwarehq.com or give Trinity Hardware Headquarters a call at 888-232-1010. Trinity Hardware Headquarters, the parts done right.
Hi everyone, this is Russ Dorn, president of PacWest Fastener Association, inviting you to join us for our fall conference in Vancouver, British Columbia, September 19th through the 22nd. This conference is open to all in the fastener industry. Come experience an incredible setting during a spectacular season and see for yourself the buzz on fancy bacon, excellent donuts, maple syrup, and beaver tail pastries. We prepared a top tier business agenda focused on practical and applicable education relevant to fastener business owners and executives, and some very exciting unique social events like our own PacWest curling competition in a very modified Olympic format that will favor those less adept with brooms and stones on an ice rink. And I'm pretty sure this may be the first for the Link photo conference coverage. You can even order a curling team t-shirt. All details and registration can be found at PacWest.org. So, check your passport, grab some loonies, and join us in Canada. This conference will be a beauty.
When top quality and outstanding service are at the top of your list in fastener suppliers, turn to Stelfast. Since 1976, Stelfast has grown to become an industry-leading importer and manufacturer of the highest quality industrial fasteners, specialty items, and automotive parts. Our array of facilities across North America and in Asia, along with full quality control labs and ISO 9001:2008 certifications, ensure the highest quality parts, and at Stelfast, they're delivered with undisputed service excellence.
We're family-run and dedicated to your success. Our customers have come to depend on the expertise of our staff and the quality of our products. We also offer a wide range of secondary services to meet some of the toughest requirements you might have. Contact Stelfast today through our website at www.stelfast.com and put us to work for you. Stelfast. Service you deserve. People you trust.
I need quarter 20x2 zinc-plated socket head cap screws ASAP. My customer has a line down and needs Saturday delivery. Help!
Solution Man Ken. I have over $1 million in zinc-plated sockets in stock, and I'll gladly drop ship directly to your customer on Saturdays. Visit the Solution Industries website for details at solutionind.com.
Is there anything you can't do, Solution Man?
When it comes to fasteners, nothing I can think of, ma'am. I'm not too good at bowling, though.
These guys aren't screwing around much. Brian and Eric, fully threaded radio, internet talk radio for the fastener industry.
How you doing? This is Al Feliz from Rapid Rivet Fastener, your rivet specialist, and you're listening to Fully Threaded Radio.
Brian and Eric, your online fastener amigos, back with you. Well, that was an amazing conversation, I thought, with Bob Fergus, and hats off to him, and good luck to PFC. What do you think, Bri?
Yeah, I hope he can get everything going right, okay?
For those of you not familiar with the book that we referenced, there is a book about Porteous entitled Porteous 40 Years of First Class Service, and I just looked inside the jacket flap, and that was published back in 07. So, you know, what does that make the 40-year anniversary, second edition, Bri?
Yeah, right.
Answer 2047.
Right. Yes, that was, we read that, and I'm not sure where we got it from now. It's a good read, actually.
A very good read. We should be so lucky.
Yeah. Though for us, it's hard to know where the industry, the web industry, will be in 40 years' time. It's changed so much since the first web page was actually displayed, I think 1990 it was, or 1991.
That is so true, and I don't think we have a prayer of it, so we're just going to do the best that we can. And in that spirit, we put out this YouTube video that we played at Fastener Tech 13, and we announced that last episode, and unfortunately, we didn't have it indexed quite correctly, but now it is. So if you go out to YouTube and you want to see this, I think it's a pretty, very cool video. It was like our slideshow, but it's got some music under it, and a lot of people from the industry are out there. Get out there to YouTube and look for FCH Sourcing Network. We'll put this out on the Facebook page as well.
Right. It's like a compendium or compilation of various shots taken at various fastener get-togethers over a while. It's good.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun to put together. Well, let's thank our guests on the episode today, Bri. And, of course, they were Mr. Bob Porteous of Porteous Fastener Company.
Yeah, I'm glad we could get hold of him at last.
From the A. Raymond Tinnerman Engineering Group, Todd Hemingway and Jason Resnar. And, of course, on the Fastener News Report, Mike McNulty and BB&T Capital Markets Analyst Holden Lewis. Great job again, you guys, as always.
Yes.
The title sponsor on today's episode of Fully Threaded Radio was Stelfast. For service you deserve and people you trust, it's Stelfast. Also, Volt Industrial Plastics, Buckeye Fasteners, Solution Industries, Fastenal, and Fastener Technology International Magazine. Thanks to y'all. You can always communicate with us, folks, at the email address ftr@fullythreaded.com, and we're out there on Twitter under the handle FullyThreaded.
And make sure you go to our Facebook page where you can catch updates and all sorts of other bits of information, other postings from other people connected to Fully Threaded Radio. That's facebook.com/fullythreaded.
Right. And we've got a tremendous number of follow-up links on this episode for sure.
Right.
And speaking of dubious soup, Bri, which was our kind of ingest theme for today's episode, there was a article that came across the desk by way of LinkedIn, and it was from the Business Insider headline, Fab CEO uses ludicrous euphemism when laying off employees. I know you saw this one.
Tell me which euphemism. I've heard a few.
Right, right. We've been on both sides of this one, but the headline was, last week, Fab CEO Jason Goldberg announced that the online design store would fire 100 people in order to focus more on its U.S. business. Story goes on to say, the internal memo announcing the event, staff is mostly what you'd expect, an attempt to put a bigger strategic context around some tough news and soften the blow for people leaving. But he's not convincing anyone that's getting laid off. And here's from the memo. I know you know what's
actually,
coming.
You shouldn't be laughing about someone being laid off, actually.
Well, it's commonplace in today's world, and we won't go too much farther into that. However, the story goes on to say, directly after this meeting, you will learn what category your job falls into and whether you will have the opportunity to, quote, start your new job search immediately, or if you will consider working with us through a multi-month transition.
Right. Oh, they had the wordsmiths working on that, didn't they?
I think it gives a lot of people in the fastener industry an opportunity to take pause and think about how possibly unsmooth we are. I don't know. But we don't have to endure this kind of crap.
No, that's the sort of – a White House spokesman would be proud of that wording, I think.
Exactly. And more of it is foisted on us every day as we're subjected to the alphabet soup of government imposition. What do you think, Bri?
Yeah, that is true.
I guess that's one way of thinking of dubious soup.
Yeah.
And with that, we're going to wrap up episode 68 of Fully Threaded Radio, everybody. We appreciate you listening, and we look forward to talking to you next time.
Until next time, folks.
For Brian Musker, this is Eric Dudas. Thanks for listening, everyone. Get out there and sell some screws, and we'll talk to you next time.
Fully Threaded Radio is a production of Fasteners Clearinghouse. Music provided by Audionautics.